Who are we?
Where do we come from? Where do we go?
Ansaldúa's mestiza consciousness breaks down the fictions of duality.
Ansaldúa does not impose a unity of interpretation,
although she suggests a cosmic unity that joins all things,
just as Clark's Marasa consciousness
depends largely on our capacities to read the sign as a cyclical spiral relationship.
Both authors attempt to transcend duality by not only embracing contradiction and difference, but also using them to challenge and transform systems of categorization. Ansaldúa describes the mestiza consciousness as a creature of darkness and a creature of light, but also features that questions the definition of light and dark, and gives them new meanings. A constant process of translation and transformation, of movement through and against sites of knowledge. The mestiza consciousness she describes is born of hybridity and cross-pollination.
She writes,
"The work of mestiza consciousness is to break down the subject-object duality that keeps her a prisoner and to show her in the flesh." Ansaldúa invites us to not only sustain contradictions,
but to turn ambivalence into something else. La casa azul, el sol amarillo, el cielo negro con hoyitos. I remember being in Tunquén, or maybe it was Algarrobo, I don't remember. But we'd just gotten home from the market and it was really late. The house was still bright turquoise under the fluorescent lights. But that was the first time I saw the sky so big and so fucking grand and massive. And I stood there craning my neck for at least 30 minutes. I was in awe. I'd never felt so connected, so centered, and small. Delightfully small.
Canción desde ahora. Canción desde ahora. Canción desde ahora. Canción cuenta de lo que existe dentro del alma.
Te amo mucho y me encanta tu sonrisa. Siento que tu ternura, o sea, lo que tú reflejas, siento que, no sé por qué, es muy parecido a lo que yo reflejo como de ternura. No sé, linda, te amo y saludo a la familia.
Disonancia, dissonance.
Canción cuenta, y a veces no se da cuenta, de ahora.
I didn't know what my cousins were going through at the time. Many of them were depressed and dealing with divorce and loss. We didn't quite have the language to express that to each other. Even now, after years of practice, we still get hung up on vocabulary. It's really hard to connect.
Saludos para allá. Te amo mucho.
And there's a lot of reading between the lines and reading body language and understanding intention and letting that speak more than the words themselves. But I get really fucking frustrated sometimes because of that. I feel like I'm constantly reaching, constantly filling in the gap that I know is always present, will always be present. If I had a wish, I would wish that we could understand each other.
Saludos para allá. Te amo mucho.
But I don't know if speaking Spanish together would help us understand each other fully, if we can ever do that with another person. If in every interaction we're always hearing what we think we want to hear, hearing what we think they're trying to say, never fully getting it. I just want to have a normal grandparent, grandchild relationship, cousin relationship, aunt and uncle relationship. I want to be able to describe my feelings accurately and express my humor. I lack that so much when I speak in Spanish. I can never be funny. I can never be as funny as I want to be, as I know I can be. And it sucks. Disonancia, dissonance, can be shrill, can be awkward, can be worth it.
¿Quién preguntó?
Yo.
Ah, ni que te acaba de preguntar.
Claro, porque después no va a estar yo quien les va a contar.
Sí, pues. Tú nomás, pues.
¿Ah?
Tú te
vas a clasificar. Claro.
Ya.
La ropa.
¿Por dónde empiezo?
¿Qué estás haciendo?
No, pero cuando quieran, otro día, si quieren, no sé.
Parra y Jara. Broken fingers can still play. I'll never understand the depth of pain and trauma of Pinochet's time. Of how it bled through. All the interactions that my parents had in university, being tear gassed, watching their friends be hurt, knowing people that have disappeared, watching strong politicians be assassinated one by one, watching political icons, musicians disappear, only to reappear with broken fingers and charred bodies. Their music still plays out, though. Broken fingers can still play. We went to Museo de la Memoria last time we went to Chile. I remember my mom not being able to move past the first floor. There were three. I was so intrigued, and my dad was telling us all the things that he remembered and all the political campaigns that were happening at the time, and finding connection to the materials that we were seeing. There were wired beds, showed what a typical torture scenario would look like in the stadium. And my mom cried. At a certain point, my mom couldn't take in anymore. And she sort of glazed over and left. I'll never understand the effect that that had on them. I'll never understand the ways that people process that. And then what feels the most ironic to me is fleeing to a country that was so deeply involved in the reason why those harms happened in the first place. Fleeing to a place with sheen, with a promise that delivers so selectively to a chosen few, the pale few that we were on the right side of and we directly benefited from. Who are we? Where do we come from? Where do we go? We are people. Humans. We come from our mothers. When asked who we are, we tend to answer in a narrative structure. To overcome the anxieties of self-narration and the burdens of self-representation. To authenticate and perform our identities. Artists of color are condemned to write only autobiographical works, only struggles. We don't remember for ourselves as we remember in order to tell. Who I am is not where I or my parents come from. We go from there. All our struggles are our baseline. We want to represent other stories for ourselves. By telling our stories, we cultivate creative energy and move on to tell different